everyone. I'm Louis Vargas, and you're listening to episode 50 of the Art Scene Podcast. Today's guest is Mark Saab, Senior Director of Innovation, Marketing, and Engagement at the Museum of African Diaspora, or MOAD for short. This is Mark's second time on the podcast, and if you haven't already, you can check out episode 31 and learn more about his work at MOAD and Felt, the internet art platform and collective that he founded. Today, he's back on to discuss museums like MOAD and the type of programming that they're doing during the pandemic while they remain closed. We also talk about the work museums can do in the wake of a major resurgence in the Black Lives Matter movement. Now, here's our conversation. I mean, I don't know how your work schedule is, but you know what? I'll just start it right now because we can talk about it for a little bit, because I am curious. First off, this is the first time we've talked since I think we did run into each other a couple weeks before the shutdown, right? Like just walking around.
We did.
From work downtown. We did. Right?
Yep. It was a very different world then.
Yeah, very quick. You know, only a short time ago, but it feels like it was forever ago.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, so that was the last time we saw each other. And so I'm curious, since then, I mean, we have like two major big things that happened since then, but the most obvious one, obvious, is the pandemic. And how has that been for you? Like, I'm assuming you're working from home as well, like everyone else in America.
Yeah, working from home. You know, for me, it's been interesting because I think that like a lot of my work has been like constantly thinking about like what does art and technology look like? What does it look like for museums to be online? What does it look like for galleries to be in the virtual space? And so it's interesting because I think in a lot of ways, like it's probably been even more work. I would say in a lot of ways, like yeah, I mean it's definitely been more work that's kind of been, you know, I guess like I don't want to say like put on me because I don't want to make it sound negative, but I think I also had to step up. But I had to step up in a lot of ways, and like I think things that I may have wanted to do at the museum for a long time, or things that I may have felt like that I think all of us wanted to do, like live streaming, for instance. Like now we live stream everything, right? Because it's like, you know, you put the event on Zoom or something like that, but then you want to reach more audiences.
Sure.
That was a conversation we were having for years. Like, what's the best way to live stream our event? And now it's easier to do that from Zoom than it is in like a physical space. But still, now I think the impacts of those things are seen so much clearer. So I think in a lot of ways, like I don't even mean this in a bad way, but it's like I think in a lot of ways, like a lot of the museum world, I think, is catching up to where I think a lot of like museum technology people or like quote unquote museum futurists, however you want to see that. Like, sure. I think all of this has caught up to each other now. And it's like this, the idea of like where museums are supposed to kind of reach people and make themselves as accessible as possible.
Yeah.
It's kind of just like here now. So it's been cool. But you know, the thing is that I think is like, it felt like because none of us were prepared for this, it's like I feel like the harder part has been figuring it all out as you go along, you know?
Yeah.
So that's been kind of strange as well. It's like, you know, all the departments kind of scrambling together, like, oh, we could do this, we could do that. And I think for us, we've been lucky because pretty much every idea that we've come up with has worked and there's been an audience for it. But it's also like a bit of trial and error in a way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting because I think, I mean, obviously in the museum world, it's highlighted a lot, but the pandemic kind of sped up what was the inevitable in terms of like technology and how it influences the workplace. And you kind of see it. I mean, it's very evident even more in museums because I think in general, because museums are these older institutions that still were doing some traditional practices and from like across the board, right? Even someone like me who works in collections management, like, we were still doing some like a lot of old school, like everything done by paper kind of thing. And the pandemic kind of sped up the need to be digital more.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the thing about that too, is that like, and I think the big shift in my opinion is not the technology itself. All the technology was there. It's the it's everyone's comfortability with using that technology and with trusting it, right? Because I think that even if people knew how to use it, like the general public didn't trust it. A lot of people who are involved, I think, especially at the highest levels, like let's say people who are like executives and like even board members, like those people would look at certain and you're like, wait, if we digitize this, like, is it still legit? And like, there are so many questions. And now I think you're getting the opposite where like now, you know, at the highest level, they're wondering like, oh, what is the museum doing to stay current and to be on top of like this new change that's happening? So like, I think that's the biggest thing. Like the biggest shift is like, I think, you know, like most people who were, I think, like really doing the day-to-day work, like most museum professionals, like they are comfortable with it. But now like to also have that sort of support from all sides, then it makes implementing that a lot easier, right? Because like, I think that's the dynamic about our, about this industry that that maybe a lot of others don't necessarily have to deal with in that way. It's like, you know, you have to deal with, I mean, every type of person, right? So in order to make a change, it's like, it really has to be something that's like as accessible as possible. And now technology feels like it could be a part of that, I think, in a way that just was not even possible at the beginning of this year.
Yeah, for sure. Well, in terms of MOAD, where you work, the Museum of African Diaspora, you know, one of the interesting things I've, at least for me, I noticed is that, the museum, your museum kind of hit the ground running. I felt like, I didn't feel like there was a stall as much of like, or scramble at least. And of course, like, correct me, cause you know, I don't work there, right? You would know more than me behind the scenes what it looks like, but at least outside, it looked like, you know, you had programming ready to go, right? You like were easily able to transition to like a digital format. I mean, I don't think, it didn't look like there was cancellation of things, you know. It just felt like you guys were able to easily adapt. And that's what I think impressed me. It's also one of the reasons why I want to get you on here, because I was like, what was happening? Like, how did that work out so quick? Because I work at a museum and it didn't work out as quick that way, you know, internally. And so I'm curious, like, what was it? Were you just like already felt like you were built internally to do that already? And then it was just like a matter of just turning on the switch once the shutdown happened? Or, you know, was it a little bit more, not crazy, but I guess more busy behind the scenes to make it happen?
I think like, well, one, I would say like pretty much everyone who works, I mean, not even pretty much, just every single person who works for the museum is extremely, extremely dedicated to what they do. So I would say, you know, like it did take it took a lot of work. But I think the staff was dedicated, and also everyone who we were doing a program with was very open to doing, to trying, figuring out how it could work online, right? So there was very few, any conversations that anyone was entering where there was someone who was like, no, this event won't work online at all. And like, let's just wait till we reopen. Mm-hmm. Everyone was really pretty much like, oh yeah, let's go with this. And let's try something new. So, and I mean, I think in a lot of ways, like we actually expanded the idea of what we could do, right? Because we were so used to like bringing people in physically, right? Just because we have a physical space. So it's like, okay, like who can we fly in? When are they available? What is like, you know, like what are their writers? Like you start dealing. And I think that like it's been super impressive because everyone who's running events, like people like, you know, Dimitri or, you know, Dimitri Brogdon, who's our senior director of education, people like Elizabeth Gessel, who's our director of public programs. Like these people just like jumped in and like made programs and then they just like really, really went for it. So I think in a lot of ways, I mean, even just like taking like our open mic has expanded so much, and like, you know, like that being hosted by Nia, like people just jumped in and were like, and I think took the idea of what they had and kind of used the internet to their advantage, right? So I feel like in a lot of ways, like that was sort of like the really good thing. I think it does help that our staff is a young staff. Like even our executive director is on like the younger side of like executive directors. I think the fact that we're all also like very excited about new ideas with museums, right? Like I think that like we know that like obviously we're not the biggest museum. Right. We can look right down the street, like, you know, as a moment right there. So, like, if we're going to do something, I think we also know that we have to be innovative. We have to be nimble. We have to be ready to like to change and to like be able to do that quickly. And I think we lean into that. I think that's one of our strengths and we kind of know that. And so like we really try that. Right. So like, for instance, you know, like with all of our events, like for most of our events, I try to also like live stream them on like YouTube and Facebook, and like they're not the, you know, like they're not necessarily like the highest level of production where I think that like some museums are doing, where they're like a very controlled environment. Ours are like Zoom things that we're doing that we're then blasting out, but we can do that like 3 to 5 times a week, you know, not easily, but we can do it, right? And I think that like having an idea of just like being comfortable with like where you are and how you're doing things is also important. And I think that's kind of where we're going with it. But like I said, I mean, it's every week though, we still have conversations about like, what can we change? Should we consider, you know, this platform or that platform? And I think we're also, you know, like a week after this, our everything we're doing could look different. Because I think we're also willing to do that. And I think like, even in our marketing, our messaging, like we've been clear, like we don't have the answers. We don't totally know, like no one has the answers right now. Who even knows we're going to be able to open up again? So it's like, you know, like we have no idea. So like, it's not worth it to act like we have an idea. And I think like, you know, bringing people along with us and trying new things is a little bit scary, but at the same time, I think you kind of just have to do that right now.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm curious, you know, just to use as an example, currently you technically have an exhibition on exhibit, right? The Mary Loveless O'Neill show, right?
Uh-huh.
If the museum's closed, what's, you know, and obviously like, I'm assuming that was an install that was happening as the museum was about to close, right? Because I saw that it's from March to August is the show. So for something like that, right, what is it that as a museum that you try to do with a show like that, where it's physically on exhibit, obviously people can't come in to see it, how do you get exposure for something like that?
So this is the, all right, so here's the thing that I should just like also clear up, but then also I think just kind of give an idea of what we're thinking and where we're going.
Yeah.
So first thing is, the way that these exhibitions happen, and I think why they look the way they do on our website, is we were planning to do deinstall and reinstall in March, right? So the way that we do our shows is that like we take all of our shows down and then we put all new shows up, right? Each floor. So basically we do a cycle of like anywhere from, I guess, like, let's say like 3 to 5 shows, right? Sometimes even 6, depending on what it looks like, but let's just say like 3 to 6 shows go up. Mm-hmm. And so like all of them go down and a new set goes up. That usually takes us like a month. And essentially we were literally in the middle of that right when shelter in place and like all of this stuff, like, you know, COVID hit and like no one was allowed in the museum. So the interesting thing is with that is that like, one, no one was ever able to come in and see these shows. So it actually forced us to adjust our exhibition schedule as well. Mm-hmm. So that like once we can open again, people will have the opportunity to see these shows, because like by now we would probably be close to like ending the cycle of shows.
Right.
So that's like one interesting thing that happened there. And I think so, like, so with that, that's kind of the plan for that. Right. Now, on the other side, though, what this has also forced us to do, which, I mean, as for me being in my position, like stuff I do at the museum, stuff I do outside the museum with like Selzine and just like my just like love for like digital exhibitions, what's great is that like we are now like our exhibition team is now like, okay, like what does a digital exhibition look like for us to do? And like we're at the very, very beginning of working on that project, which is like the first time we've ever done something like that. But I think, and this is what's so key about this moment, is that we're not rushing to do it because we're in shelter in place. To be honest, our museum might be open while we launch a new digital exhibition. Like, we haven't decided on like the you know, kind of like the date that this will go live. But I think it's like we have recognized that, like, oh, okay, like we also need to like find a way to present these, like present content and exhibitions online,
yeah,
in that environment, the way they're supposed to be shown. So right. That also goes to say about why, you know, like we didn't necessarily like the shows that are there, we kept them on our website. We have them up like they're on view. And I think part of that too was saying that like these are not online exhibitions. They weren't intended to do that. So we don't want to force this into like something it shouldn't be. So like we're going to roll with that as a physical exhibition. We'll keep the information up. Press wants to reach out to artists. Like we're still in support of this exhibition and these artists and their vision. People like Mary Lovelace O'Neill, people like David Huffman, people like Sam Vernon, our emerging artist program. Like all of these things, like we still have, like, you know, we're still behind. We're still like pushing press out forward, doing all that stuff. But even when we do that, we're saying like, hey, the dates are where it's going to be on view are up in the air because we just don't know. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot, even with these, like I said, once again, it's like, we're like seriously like thinking about like, okay, like what does it mean to take advantage of the shift that's happening? But also at the same time, like, we don't want to just like do something just because like it's shelter in place. I don't know.
You don't want it to be like a one-off. Like it's something where Exactly. You want to be able to continue to use it to your advantage in the future, even reopening. And like, like it's exactly. Not a gimmick. It's like something actually that is a tool that can be utilized. It's interesting too, because at the same time, you're also trying to set an example, like, listen, like, you know, you can do this in the future too. Like any other place can do this. Yeah. Like if you see us do it, like it's possible. It's like unclaimed real estate, right? Like, right. Like, exactly. If you have a website in another area to like digitally show something, it's good to have it as an additional real estate spot to exhibit whatever the museum, you know, does.
Yep, exactly. And I think in the beginning, you know, in the beginning of Shelter in Place, like let's say like end of March, early April, I think that there was like this really big rush to like get messaging out that's like, oh, you're at home, we're gonna support you, like all these different things. And it was so centered around, I think, this idea that you know, things like this was a brief moment. And I think that, like, we were all very clear and honest with each other that this is going to be a while. And if we go hard like that, what is June going to look like? What is July going to look like? And we were all like very, very conscious of that. And I think that that really helped us, because you can still do these things. You can provide, you know, like we do workshops, you know, like we do drawing workshops for kids. And like, we do understand that, like, families, you know, especially like working parents, they need to give their children something to like distract them right now.
Yeah.
Like, we totally get that. But there's a way to do that doesn't necessarily mean that like the marketing has to be about like, oh, take advantage of this moment. Like right now, like, if, like, who knows? Like even when like summer's going on, they still need us, right? Like, this is not something that is just about like now. And I think that it is about like being adaptive, but then also thinking like, how do we keep that sustainable? And like, because people are going to need this for, I mean, potentially forever. Like, things have changed, and it's not going to go back to the way it was. People are thinking about everything differently now.
Yeah, I know. I think at least at the museum I work at, you know, they know for a fact that, you know, we're not going to get the same amount of visitors in the future. And with bigger institutions, the issues they have is majority of their income comes from ticket sales to tourists that come into town, and tourism is probably going to be dead for a couple of years.
Yeah.
They have to really go back to doing what they probably started out at the beginning of their tenure as a museum. And that's engaging the community that they exist in and relying on those ticket sales, which are always going to be less than tourism. But nonetheless, that's what you have, and you have to rely on that. And as a result, you need to shift, you need to adapt, and that's just probably going to be what the future is.
Yeah, you know, and the whole thing is that's the hard work, right? Because that's when you start opening yourself up to, like, you know, potentially like a much deeper, more nuanced sort of accountability, mm-hmm. right? And yeah. I think that, like, in a lot of ways, like, I guess this is not even just about museums, but every system is always afraid of that, right? Like, that's what you know could potentially destroy the system. So right. I think that, like, those sort of things, that's what makes all of this, like, super interesting too.
Yeah, for sure. Let's shift to the next thing that happened during this crazy pandemic period, which is mm-hmm. obviously the, you know, I don't know if it's the right word to use, but I guess, like, the resurgence of the Black Lives Matter movement, because it's always existed, yeah. but I think yep. it's back front and center, and I think bit bigger than it was, you know, the first time it came about, right? Like in the last
totally.
You know, and one of the interesting things about museums, like many of the, funny enough, like many corporations, you know, and we see it everywhere now, right? As soon as this happened, it was kind of everyone gives a generic statement, we're standing with Black Lives Matter, you know, like they're seeing that yeah. the trend that, like, if we don't, like, if we're going to fall behind and lose money probably if we don't go move forward with this, right? But it's obvious, yeah. like, you can kind of tell who's like, we know you're like, yeah, thanks for your support, but we know you're kind of doing it because you don't want to, like, fall behind in times and history. But, like, yeah. and I think some museums, you know, are like that too. But I think for you guys, you know, the Museum of African Diaspora is interesting because you guys have always lived that life, you know, like this isn't like they aren't like a MoMA or anything that's been around for like a long time. And, you know, you guys, your mission statement, like, has always included, like, Black Lives Matter, yep. and not in the form of a movement, but, like, as a lifestyle, as a museum, right? Mm-hmm. And so your museum was interesting because among all the Instagram posts, at least in the Bay Area for me, again, without skipping a beat, you guys are ready to go, you know, like you don't need, and maybe the way your museum is already programmed and the way it's already, like, established and built and staffed, but, like, it was so interesting how the post and the Instagram and the programming that you guys are doing in the wake of the Black Lives Matter protests in the last few weeks, that it just only highlighted how far behind the other museums were in terms of, like, their programming. Like, you didn't, like, you know, everybody, every museum claims that they have inclusivity, they have diversity, but then when this happened, it really showed that they, like, they didn't, they weren't really built for it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think so. Wow. So first of all, thank you for saying that, because I think that, like, everything that you said, it is just, like, so key to what we do. You know, the thing is that, like, in a lot of ways, right, like, I think, just even to be honest, like, so many people are doing things because, just to be real, like, they're also afraid of just being, like, called out, right?
Right.
And, like, that's, you know, like, whatever, like, that's how it goes. The thing for us is also, to keep it real, we've been getting called out too, right? Like, right. we're so close to community that, like, I mean, the idea, however you see that, but we're so close to our community that, like, we hear it, right? So, like, when people don't like something that we do, or people love something that we do, or if there's, you know, artists or creatives that we should be paying attention to, people talk to us about it, and they send us, like, I mean, even for me, like, you know, being in the position I'm in at the museum, like, they send us DMs all day. People are like, yo, this is who you need to be paying attention to, who you need to be, like, what you need to be doing. And, you know, in the same way, like, when we have our weekly meetings as a team and as a museum, I talk about these things, like, openly, like, with the team as well. So I would say, like, one, like, we're very transparent, and I think all of us are that way. Like, if anyone who's working in any position at the museum might hear something or people say something, like, we talk about it. And you know, we're also, like, we're here with the artists and, like, the curators, like we work, because we do so many traveling shows, because we're not a collecting museum, right? Like, that means we have to work with, like, active curators who are, like, working closely with artists who are in the community. Mm-hmm. That means our exhibitions and curatorial team has to, like, be involved with these people like very intimately. So like the things that they care about, we care about. And I mean, it just kind of has to be that way because the relationship there is like, is dynamic. And I think that same goes for programs, same goes for every way. And I, you know, like, I think, you know, at the same time, like, we're also like, we're not perfect. And like, we accept that. And we know that too. And we listen and we say like, okay, like, where can we improve? Where do we need to self-reflect? And like, yeah, like, we're, you know, we're a museum of the African diaspora, but we're still a quote unquote museum. Like, what does that even mean to like uphold that structure, right? Yeah. And I think that like, and there's some ways where like being a Black museum is important because we have to also show the world that like Black art belongs in museums and not just like the, you know, the 1% of Black artists who can like make it in a space like, you know, SF MoMA or like D Young or something like that. But like Black artists of every level are important, and that actually like we need to support them at every stage so that they can create, and that like all of this is key. But even in all of that, like, what is the system that we're perpetuating by doing that? Mm-hmm. And like, so I think that it, and I think that when it goes, once again, being honest, right? Like, I think like if someone, you know, calls us out online, mm-hmm. we invite them to like talk to us deeper. Like, okay, like what do you want to see from us? And like, how can we take this in? And like, what can we learn from this? How can our staff reflect on that? And so I think it's like, it's a mix of so many dynamics, but yeah. I think it probably starts at the core of us having a dynamic within our team where we can be like real and honest with each other and, you know, like be like, and open things up, right? And be like, look, these are how we want to address the community. These are the things, kind of things we want to say. And then we pitch that back as a team, right? Like when we make our statements about like Black Lives Matter, we try to do it in a way as best we can where like that sentiment is like democratic, right? I mean, right. Thankfully we're at a staff size where we can do that, right? Like other institutions are so large, it's almost like impossible to do something like that. But I think once again, like that's us being comfortable though with our size, right? And I think that like there's that's a big part of it. But yeah, I mean, you know, like, but you know, at the same time, like the fact that we've been living in this so long also made, like, I would say like the end of May and early June, dude, those are some of the hardest weeks probably of my life.
Yeah.
Not even because of like work, but because it was like, there was no, I don't even need to say like this, like that's ideal, but like there was literally no escape, right? It was like, when I'm at work, it's like we're writing content about this. We're making sure, like, we're reassessing our events to make sure that, like, we're addressing everything that people really need from us. Like, I think there was two feelings that I felt. It was one, like, dude, like, there's no escape for me. Like, there's nothing else I can think about except for this moment that's happening. I mean, to be honest, like, I think we had like a small, like not even small, I think we saw the beginning of a cultural revolution.
Yeah.
And I think it's still happening. And I think over the next few years, we're going to see it grow and morph and become more. But we saw the spark of a revolution.
Right.
And it's like, okay, I can't escape this going to media or going online or going on TV, like podcasts. Every podcast was talking about it. Like there's nothing I could go to. Like, every song that was dropping was about this. Like, everything was about this.
Sports, and you then, name like, it.
Yeah, sports, everything. I mean, even like I don't even know, like anything that you were into, even if you were listening to like a finance podcast, whatever you were doing, they were stopping what they were doing to address the moment.
Yeah,
that's beautiful and that's great, you know? But I'm like, yo, like, I also am thinking about this. Like, this is all I'm thinking about at work, right? Like, even like, we get an event and I'm like, oh, this is great. How can I make sure that if I'm going to like post about this online or if I'm going to put this in an email, whatever I'm going to do, how do I make sure that like people know that I'm not just like promoting saying like, oh, sign up for this event. It's like, oh, you need healing or you need this. Like, it's like this constant thing. And I feel like that was difficult, but on the same side, like, but on the other side of that same coin, the thing was, I also felt like, as like one, like as just being like a Black person in this country, I don't know if I could have even also imagined working anywhere else. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's
true.
So it was like this weird thing where I was like, oh, this is really hard. But then I would talk to like my friends who work in other industries and they're like, I can't believe it. Like, you know, my company just did a town hall about like Black Lives Matter and literally no Black people spoke. Right. And it was like, oh shit. Like I never even considered that. So it was like this very, it felt like this tear where it was like, I was just going through these ups and downs, like these peaks and these valleys. And it was like, oh yeah. Like I'm so happy that I'm in a position where I can like support people and make them and like help them feel better, help them find some guidance through this. And then the other end, it was like, Oh, this is all I'm thinking about. This is so hard. So it was a mix, but I guess that's life.
Yeah. It's just, you know, you said two things repeatedly, and I love that you said them. Two words. It's honesty and transparency are the two things that kept coming up and everything you just said. And, you know, I think everything you said is part of that, right? Of like being honest about exactly how you're feeling at work, right? Like the fact that you like not more people need to be honest about and open about like what you said, like, you know, it's kind of it's weird. Like I have the same scenario where it's like kind of uncomfortable, but I need to tell you it's uncomfortable because if I don't tell you, I'm just going to internalize it. I'm going to lose my damn mind, you know? And especially in a place like a museum where, you know, like you said, like people are DMing you, right? Like I think every museum, I think, is in some way or another, like somebody is like messaging them every day, like, what are you doing? What are you doing to support the movement, right? And you can't escape it. And I think that feeling can only be solved by like confronting it, confronting the problem, talking about the problem, be honest about the problem, you know, be honest about what you feel and what everybody feels. You know, I think the more you hide away in your castle, you know, I think the bigger the problem is going to be. And then and also it's just probably not even good for your own self-health. You know, like I can't even like, I don't know how some museum directors don't even really address it publicly because I'm like, you know, you may be like, I don't know how they handle their mental health because they got to be inside their apartment somewhere just like losing their minds because they're not really talking to anybody about it. Right. And they're not even talking to their staff and they're not even talking to the community about it. And so it's like, you know, like it all helps if you just talk about it.
Yeah, no, totally. And I think, no, I think that you're so right about that. Like, I think that the thing about museums, and this I think that like is really important to me is how much the tag of like museum, like people trust you so much.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
And that trust is like you have to take that seriously, and then you have to say to yourself, like, okay, if people trust us, what's the best way to handle that trust? And like you said, it's being honest, and you know, like there's, and you know, the other thing too is it's not taking it personal. We people who work in museums, I don't care what level you're at, like you care so much about your work
so true.
I think sometimes the division between it being your job and you yourself as a person is like gets so blurred, but you really have to understand when people criticize the institution, they're not criticizing you as a person.
Right.
It has nothing to do with you. And in fact, if you weren't in that position, they wouldn't care. And I think that like, however difficult it might be for people to swallow that pill, this is no shot at anybody on that level, but it's like, a lot of museum directors have to get that through, right? It's like, yo, it's really not about you. Mm-hmm. And even just like, even people who have, you know, the ability to make decisions in museums, like people can understand if you're put into a place where you have to, you know, choose between the lesser of two evils. But just tell them that. Explain that to them. Like, help them understand there are people who have been so shut out of the museum world who love museums that they're going to be frustrated. And you know what? If they're shut out and they don't understand why you had to do X, Y, and Z, then explain that to them.
Yeah.
And then they'll be appreciating that. So like you said, like, keep it real and also understand that it literally has nothing to do with you as a person, like at all.
Absolutely. You know, what's that saying? They say that, like, you know, these people, they aren't hating on you because they hate you. It's because they love you and they just want you to be better, right? And which runs parallel to this entire world and this country, you know, like, where, like, you know, I mean, think about it, right? Like, we're like, there's criticism against the Black Lives Matter movement, and it's just like they're not like doing it to like to destroy this country. They're doing it because they love this country so much that they just want it to be better for them, you know, like,
yep.
And it's no different at the museum, where, you know, when staff and when like the community and the visitors are like sending you messages and saying, like, guys, you guys are messing up. You're not doing a good job. You need to tell us what's going on. You know, they're not telling you you suck and we hate you. They're saying, like, can you please be better? Because I love going there so much and working there so much. I just want it to be better for me.
Exactly. Exactly. No, you got it. That's 100% it. Like, spot on.
Right. It's crazy times, man. It's just like, it's so much in a 3-month period too, right? Like, I think that's, and again, it, you know, even this is one of the issues, just like the pandemic, where we've been talking about these issues for a long time with museums, where they're not as inclusive, they're not as diverse as they say or wish they are. And it kind of falls on deaf ears, and it's like, and then at the same time, museums are like also slightly losing popularity, right? Like, people aren't going as much as they used to. So it's like something had to change, and the pandemic and just expedited everything. You know, I think many of the reasons why the Black Lives Matter movement is really, you know, really holding, and it's not stopping. Like, it's going to keep going for a long time, I think, is because people are just pissed. And I think the pandemic just kind of highlighted it, just like expedited our anger to the point where it's like you said, like, it's like a revolution now.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, and the other thing too is that, like, it's like people now feel, I mean, for as much as they feel oppressed, the thing is that, like, when you have moments like the pandemic that essentially crack apart reality, it makes anything possible. And it makes people say, like, yeah, actually, I don't need to be on this Zoom meeting today. I'm going to go outside and protest. And then, like, it's like, what are you going to tell them? You can't tell them anymore, like, oh, no, you have to be here because your work has to get done. Dude, my work's been getting done on my own terms for the last 3 months. How are you going to tell me that? If I even have a job.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if I even still have a job. So, like, you can't control people in the way that you used to. Like, those old threats ain't going to work no more.
Right.
It's like, no one doesn't resonate anymore.
So true. So true, man. I'm so glad I got you on here to talk about it. It's like, I think I've been the last like few weeks, you know, even as a museum employee myself, I'm just kind of like, who do I talk to about? I got to talk to other people about it, and not people within my museum, because I talk to them all the time about it. I need to talk to somebody who works somewhere else, and I want to know what they're dealing with. And it feels good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Nah, like completely.
So before I let you go, man, and thanks for coming on. First of all, I mean, it was great to have you on here. So tell me, what is coming up for MOED? Like, what is something we should keep an eye out online? Hopefully in the future, I hear that museums in the city are supposedly going to be able to open in mid-August. I don't know if people will go, but if they're brave enough to go. But what is coming up for MOED?
So I would say, like, you know, like, one thing, just know, like, we're in a very, very big moment of change for everything that we're doing. So, like, I would say, like, one thing, like, definitely, like, keep up with us on social media and look at everything that we're doing, because, like, we're going to continue to do, like, these online events even when we open up. You know, to be real, I don't see us having any sort of, like, physical programming in our space throughout the rest of this calendar year. We probably won't do that again until, like, 2021. So, like, wherever you are in the world listening, like, just know that, like, we're really trying to create, like, very, very dynamic online programming throughout the rest of this year. Mm-hmm. And then going into the future, we'll definitely have some version of that we still continue to do. So we are, like, you know, right now the conversation is, when we open up, how do we do what we're doing now plus what we were doing before? So I think, like, the idea of, like, the amount of content and, like, the type of content we're going to be producing is going to vary greatly We're in really deep conversations now about, you know, like having the opportunity to produce things like this, like produce podcasts with our, with the different artists that we have and like the different exhibitions that we have coming up. We really, really believe that like right now, and not even right now, but like we have a moment to like really grow the type of content that we're doing. We will be having like digital exhibitions, like exhibitions that are truly digital though. And I mean, like our you know, our curatorial team is dedicated to it. I have a large, like, you know, an extensive background in this, but we're like, you know, what does it look like to have premier artists of the African diaspora, like creating GIFs, right? And like us, like, you know, hosting that or like hosting different sorts of like video art that they create. Like we're really dedicated into like really growing that out. And yeah, like at the same time, I mean, you know, like this moment and us having to shift our content to the way it was to the way it is now, like it truly made us, I think, the museum that we've always wanted to be, in the sense that like we care about what's happening locally and we have programs and events that are totally about like local artists, like artists in the Bay Area, especially artists of the African diaspora in the Bay Area. But at the same time, we're extremely global. And I think like writing those like kind of like opposite ideas, but continuously relating them to each other has, I think we've become the museum that I think people who have followed us for a long time have always wanted us to be. And I think that like, we're like, okay, we owe it to the people now to continue to be that and to grow this out forever. And really like, that's what we're figuring out, and that's what we're trying to do now. So, like I said, like I would just really like follow us on social, because that's where like a lot of our like up to date kind of like experimental stuff happens. I think like keep up with us there and like ride this dream with us, because like we're literally coming up with new ideas every day and like trying stuff, asking people how they work. That's a big thing. We want to hear from you. We have more surveys out than I can like probably track. So like, but different people on our team are tracking them, and we're coming to meetings and we're like, people like this, people want this, people want that. You know, people have been like super, like, you know, trying to fight the power and fight against corporations like Amazon. And they've been buying books from us online in volumes that we've never seen before. Like that support means so much to us. Yeah. But we also know that it's also important for us to be that alternative. Yeah. Right. And so how do we continue to be the alternative? And one thing I want to say, just before I get off, because this kind of goes back to something we were talking about earlier, but one really, really big revelation I had, and I actually like, you know, like this really happened when we were working on the process. We did an exhibition with the we did an exhibition with the African American Arts and Cultural Complex, which is another kind of like art space and like here in San Francisco. Sorry, it's another art space here in San Francisco. And really, like one thing that I learned from doing that show, which was, it was a beautiful show for a lot of reasons. It was a difficult show for a lot of reasons. I'm sure you know Melanie and Melora from AAACC would say the same thing, and it's all respect. But it challenged us in a lot of ways, and in some ways that were important. And I think that like one thing that I realized in that process is this idea of community. Like everybody says that word and it means something different to everybody. Mm-hmm. And that's cool. But for me, I think what I've come to internalize is that community, whether that be like, you know, however you do that demographically, that's less important to me than the idea that what community is they're the people that are going to continue to challenge you no matter what you do. And that is actually a great thing, right? Like, yeah. even if we try to be as equitable as possible, even if whatever we do, there's still more work to be done.
Yeah.
There always is more work to be done. And always. Community, those are the people that are going to say to you, oh, like, this isn't enough. This is what you need to do. And you need to embrace that. And that's what, to me, it means to embrace community and to accept community for real, is accept that, like, that's what they're there to do, is to call you out, no matter what you do.
Yeah. Well said, dude. Like, well said. It's true.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Also, thank you. Thank you for having me on here. I love talking to you. So anything you want me to, anything you ever want to talk about with me, like reach out to me. I always enjoy our conversation.
Oh, absolutely. I love having get past guests on all the time. And like I said, we always run into each other somewhere in the neighborhood and downtown when we're working. So we're always talking about all sorts of stuff. Well, thanks, man. Thanks for coming on. And hopefully I'll see you in person soon.
Yes, for sure. If we can, I can't wait. And let's make it happen.
That's it for today, everyone. Thanks for listening. And thanks to Mark for coming back on. To learn more about MOAD's programming, visit moedsf.org or just follow them on Instagram at moedsf. Before I sign off, I just want to say that this moment that the entire country is going through is perhaps one of the most crucial moments in our country's history. And it's one we'll hopefully look back on as a time where significant change was able to be accomplished. But that being said, don't let your foot off the gas pedal and keep fighting. Keep having the awkward but necessary conversations about race. Keep educating yourselves about it, and most importantly, contribute to the cause if you can, whether it's peacefully protesting or donating to Black Lives Matter and its affiliated nonprofits, or even just buying works by BIPOC artists. There are a ton of them here in the Bay Area, and they produce a lot of beautiful work. It doesn't matter how, just keep fighting and keep contributing. Okay, till next time, everyone.